This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone you know has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
There is a fish named Miko.
Yep.
Who lives in Helsinki. He's a grouper fish, the big grumpy looking ones. Like, but they're pretty big. I think there's some at the National Zoo and Aquarium, which is kind of cool. But Miko is not having much fun.
He's not a happy fish.
He's unfortunately feeling a little bit lonely. They realize that he's just kind of like, he's a bit depressed. He's sitting at the bottom of his tank.
Fish have actually complex emotions, which is interesting. Yeah, they go through cycles and it's a whole thing.
And because of restrictions, even in Helsinki, there is like, he's not been able to have any guests. So he's been particularly lonely because he's in this tank all by himself.
I've been talking about that actually, that zoo animals and, you know, they've lost their routine as well.
Yeah, exactly. So they're used to seeing people.
We're their animals.
Exactly.
So they literally get excited to see different people moving past because they're like, oh, something new to look at.
Yeah, exactly. They're feeling a little bit lonely without us.
They're like, where have the people all gone?
So far, this is an incredibly sad story for Miko because like, he's just sad. He's all by himself. He's all alone. The reason he's all alone is immediately makes me not feel sorry for him at all and essentially think he's lucky to be even in a tank. So the reason he's so alone is because he eats everyone that he gets put in a tank with.
Oh.
They've tried to put him in tanks with like friends and stuff. He just eats them all. They put him in with like a lionfish, which is like the big pointy spiky one.
Yeah.
Because it's poisonous. And they're like, he's not going to eat that. Ate two of them. So to Miko, this is a special message. You're on very thin ice.
You're a murderer.
If I owned that zoo, you'd be out, mate. Oh. That's it. Sorry, bye. We can't have you here.
The sympathy does disappear pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's it. If you're eating your friends, you can't be then lonely you don't have friends. No one wants to be your friend. You're eating everyone.
Yeah, and that word gets out pretty quick, I'd imagine, in the aquarium, because everything's glass.
Yep.
You have no privacy.
Exactly right.
All the other fish can see you eat all of your friends.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, he's kind of like Hannibal Lecter.
Mm.
It's like
in
more ways than one, but that's it. Like a new fish would come to like the aquarium and they'd be like, what's wrong with that fish? He's like, looks so sad and lonely. And they're like, don't look at him. That's Miko. He eats fish.
Maybe, you know what? And look, let's get a little bit existential here for a second. Miko doesn't realize he's a fish. And that's why he's the first fish ever to be having an existential crisis because he doesn't know he's a fish. That's why he's eating the other fish.
Yeah.
He thinks, oh, this is food. Sick. Yeah. Maybe he's like, he doesn't know he's a fish.
What do you think he would think he would
be then? I have no idea.
Because
he's an eel? An eel, maybe? He thinks he's an eel or something?
I just think he thinks he's a group of fish. And he's like, what I'm meant to do is eat people. I know I get fed all the time, but I'm hungry now. Also, they're not setting themselves up with it. Like, this zoo is not doing themselves any favor because it was his 16th birthday.
Yeah.
They gave him a salmon cake covered in shrimp. Don't feed him fish if you don't want him to eat fish.
We know how much he loves fish.
He's set this grouper free and he'll be the last fish in the ocean, I reckon.
Certainly not going to be questioning any. But yeah, that's it. He'll just world domination. He'll be the only fish left.
We're worried about overfishing now. Let this fish free.
It'll be Miko. He'll do it all on himself. What did you say earlier in the story?
What?
That he ate two lionfish.
Yeah.
Don't put a second one in after the first one.
No, like, surely not
twice.
What's
this zoo doing?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I've hit max capacity of what I'll put up with Instagram ads. So while I'm going on my Instagram, I'll scroll down my newsfeed. And I've started noticing that I must have accidentally liked an ad or something because I'm getting an ad once every four posts.
Okay, so let me have a look. I'll go for a scroll now just to randomly see how...
At the most, I get four before I see another ad. And so it'll be four of things I want to see at most. Oh. Sometimes it's two. Sometimes it's three. And what are you on?
One scroll.
Okay, one, two.
Ad.
Yeah, then go down. What's the next one after that? So one, two, three, four, five.
Ad.
Ad, there you go. This is what I'm talking about. There's so many ads on Instagram at the moment. And I didn't really realize because I just scroll through and do whatever. But it really is becoming a bit of a problem. It was like one every four I was seeing an ad of stuff I don't care about.
You know what actually scares me about this? We were having this conversation a little bit earlier this morning and I was certain that I wasn't seeing ads.
Yeah.
And then I've just had a look then and I'm getting one every four as well.
Now so I've said that there's one in every five posts, you'll start noticing it.
They're in my head now. Yep. Like I didn't even notice that they were happening.
It was just happening subconsciously.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I mean, if you want to, check your Instagram, see how many ads you see.
Scary.
I've decided that I am going to get rid of these ads. Now, what I've done is you can report ads that you see on Instagram if you find them irrelevant.
Yeah.
You've already bought the product. I kind of like that. So it's like if you already have Spotify or whatever,
stop
you can just say,
me ads for Spotify.
I've got Spotify. You've won. The marketing has been effective. You can also be like, it was violent, whatever.
Yeah.
But the one I like, because it's so vague, and what I've been doing to every single ad I see is reporting it and saying that I find it offensive. I'm finding anything, any
ads. I mean,
ads,
offensive is a kind of catch-all word.
Like, that's what I mean.
It can offend your senses of not wanting to see ads.
Exactly right. And in 2020, I feel like we're all across it. People can be offended over whatever they want. So I am saying that I'm offended. So some of the things that came up, because I wrote them down, I spent like half an hour going through and deleting all of these.
Mm-hmm.
I had above and a family above ground swimming pool.
What offended you about that?
Just the whole thing. Just how arrogant the family was. I can't even have an above ground pool because I don't have a backyard.
Like they're rubbing it in your face. Yeah.
There was an ad for avocados, buying fresh avocados. That offended me as well. I said that I was offended by that.
How were you offended by that?
I don't have an avocado. They're flaunting to me that, oh, look at all these avocados.
A similar reason for the offence caused by the above ground pool.
There was in-ear headphones.
You
won't believe it. I was actually offended by that.
Okay.
Because I just went out and bought headphones and it was a different brand that was cheaper.
So you're saying, if social media knows so much about me, I'm offended you haven't taken an interest to know that I just bought AirPods.
The final one was vegan breadcrumbs. They're made out of peas instead of bread. That offended me.
Okay. All right.
Because I didn't even know they existed. And the fact that that's been pointed out to me made me feel stupid.
You make it feel stupid.
Made me feel stupid because I didn't know that they were a thing. So they've been reported.
What the offended button is for.
And I tell you what I'm not for is for an Instagram ad every four swipes I go down.
So that is offensive.
It's offensive to me. The whole thing's offensive to me. And I feel like eventually they'll just go, Jesus, we can't show this guy anything. Let's also not have a look at the pages he follows because some of them are pretty, I feel like Shock Mansion, World's Greatest Fails, kids getting hurt and stuff like that. I'm offended by advertising, essentially.
Look, if you've ever found a pretty foolproof way to stop ads rocking up on your Instagram or your Facebook or anything, do let us know. 131060. Maybe you can put Ned out of his misery.
Yeah.
I have no other way to segue into the fact we're about to play 3 minutes of ads.
Oh, and these are fine. These are fine.
Not offended by these?
No, these are good.
Yeah, okay. Because
they pay me.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Pettiest Neighbour of the Year award. I have a feeling I know exactly who's going to win it.
Okay, who? You said they're from America, so we're not going to offend anyone.
Guy in the US has had a bit of a problem with his neighbour. He's apparently got a big statue in his front yard. His neighbour's like, take it down. It's gaudy. It's ugly. It's against.
What's it of?
I actually don't know what the statue is.
It's just
a
statue.
I don't think it's offensive. I think it's more just, this is ruining the aesthetic of the neighbourhood.
It's like a gargoyle or something.
It's like some horrific. Yeah. Anyway,
you're terrifying my children.
There are a number of things that could be that are very bad.
Yeah.
But the thing that I think is interesting here is that the guy's like, no, I like it. Yeah. Staying there in my front yard.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you don't. Being in a neighbourhood's not a team sport. You pay for where you live, and then that's your jurisdiction. And if someone wants to do whatever they want next door, they are more than entitled to.
Very much so. And to the point that I would say that that's not the person that's going to win the Petty Award, the guy with the statue. The guy who asked him to take it down is going to win it.
Oh,
because what the guy who's asked him to take it down is, and to your point of in a neighbourhood, you're all just living collectively and hopefully people do the right thing. You can't really, I mean, this one is a little bit more you can do something about it. But what he's decided to do is just blare the Gilligan's Island theme song across
bizarre.
For hours, days. Yeah. It's been like 3 days at this point.
Yeah.
He's just been blaring the Gilligan's Island theme song at his neighbor's house.
This is so strange because it's not spiteful music. It's kind of annoying, I guess. Hearing it in Gilligan's Island theme song, it's like, oh, well, it only goes for like 30 seconds, 40 seconds, whatever. But hearing this on repeat, I can see how this get annoying.
Yep.
Maybe it's because of the year we've all had, but I desperately want this. I want someone to try and, like, outdo me in
out
some way.
Out-petty you.
Out-petty me in, like, a neighbor way.
You reckon you're ready with your creativity to get the frustrations of the year out with little petty gestures?
Exactly. But I'm also in my prime for dealing with, like, putting up with stuff. Like, if someone was doing this, just blasting Gilligan's Island all day or all night or whatever, this is when I could put up with it. When I'm, like, 30-something, I have kids, I'm going to be, like, very accountable to other people.
Yeah.
But now's when I can be like
some earplugs.
buy some earplugs, get over it, and then because I get up at 4 or whatever.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive weapon is getting up early in the morning because you can also then just start music real early in the morning if you want to.
Just
to,
like, I get up and...
It's no inconvenience for you to wake up earlier. If somebody wanted to pull a prank involving early hours, they'd have to wake up earlier.
Exactly.
For you, you're already awake.
If someone wants to get up at 3, that's fine. But if I want to get, because I have to get up at 4, if I get up at 4 and just get in the shower and just shut through the house
and you're to blame.
That's, oh God, I would die.
That's up to you. That's your.
I'm actually going to start some beef with my neighbours now.
Just so you can do that.
This has made me very excited.
No, see, this is
the possibilities are endless.
The pettiness can only work in retaliation to more pettiness.
I guess this
isn't. Don't start the pettiness.
This isn't petty. This is spiteful.
Yeah, this is actually you just wanting to be a horrible person, which is that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, okay, I have to leave it, but just so my neighbours know. I'm up for a fight.
Just, I think what your neighbours need to know is the slightest infringement will be taken as a declaration from Ned. He's looking for anything.
I'm volatile.
He's like, does that welcome mat in the common hallway been moved slightly? Yeah. It's on.
It's on.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, Drake celebrated his 34th birthday, which is very exciting for him, I suppose.
I need a one dance. Wonder if he had a dance.
One dance,
to celebrate.
I'm sure.
Just the one. Just the one dance.
Yeah. I wonder if he dances. Do you reckon he dances to his own songs?
I've seen him dance to his own songs. I mean, admittedly, they were in music videos. But.
Yeah, but just regularly. Do you reckon you ever walk around the house? Because that's what... It is such a confusing... Because, like, I think people would think he was being very arrogant. But, like, when you make really... catchy songs.
Oh, a lot of the time, he wouldn't make the beat.
Yeah,
so, you know, and he's obviously fallen in love with that beat enough to make a song
That's
of it.
True,
so, he probably would be dancing to it.
So, I hope he did dance to One Dance. But I tell you what, I know for a fact that he did is that he put on a bit of like an outing, a bit of a food outing for the people he invited to his birthday.
So, just like a menu set up for the guests. So
I think he had like chefs come over or whatever, and he had firsts and seconds.
Yep.
Now, I'll run you through them because at best, they're childish. At worst, one of the last thing on the menu is disgusting.
Okay.
So, we have fried calamari, which is nice, sushi platter, Caesar salad, and baby kale salad.
That all sounds pretty adult to me.
I mean, I suppose. Like, calamari is something that kids usually
eat. So, you're saying like fish and chip shops.
Yeah, right. Sushi platter, though. Yeah. You came close to having sushi the other day.
Yeah, I did. So I've never had sushi before.
Caesar salad, not... I don't...
Okay. Yeah. Keep moving forward. That just sounded like a lot of exciting words in there for me. Yeah. As a very childish food eater myself, I was like, oh, that sounds fancy.
I think you heard the word kale second last.
I did,
And then you were like, well, that must be...
I based a lot of what I had to say around the word kale.
Exactly,
I must have been.
Right, yeah.
And so, the word salad.
Yeah. The second, though, is where it gets interesting. So, he has chicken bolognese, which is fine. Steak fries, also fine. Grilled shrimp, I've never had, but sure. Grilled cauliflower, which is a little odder. And then the last one is mac and cheese.
Oh, I love a bit of mac and cheese.
And mac and cheese is super popular in the States. I don't know, but I would assume where it originated from.
Mm.
So you'd think they'd have it pretty down pat. But he has said in the menu that it will contain raisins, sultanas in your mac and cheese.
No. No.
That's what Drake likes.
Nope.
What Drake wants, Drake gets, especially.
Well, then Drake can have
his
own little, you know, those little boxes of sultanas you used to get when you were a kid.
Of course.
Just give him one of them and whack that in your own mac and cheese. Don't ruin everyone else's.
Exactly right.
I like tomato sauce in my mac and cheese, but I don't do that to the whole mac and cheese.
I wouldn't put it on a menu.
To just mine.
Yeah, you would go to the waiter shamingly and go, hey, I know this is not what you meant to do, but can I have some...
Tommy sauce.
Can I have some tomato sauce or can I get a little box of raisins?
Yeah. That's not something you make all the guests go through.
Yeah. Because I imagine that every single one of them, bar Drake, would go, hey, everything but the raisins. No raisins in anything. That's fine. Raisins are not something I want to eat.
I know we were talking on the show only like a couple of weeks ago about not shaming people that have childish food tastes.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put this down to this category. I mean, if you want to shame the man for having mac and cheese on his 34th birthday menu at all.
That's a different discussion.
I will defend him. And that is a different discussion. But adding weird stuff to it and making everyone, just because you like it.
That's childish.
That's a different thing. Yeah. And that is childish.
That is childish. God, that would be amazing if on your birthday everyone had to eat what you said. So it's like, I want to have steak, but also you have to eat. I want it covered in fairy floss. You have to eat it because it's my birthday.
My 30th is coming up next year, and if I instituted that rule, the amount of sugar I have in a day could actually harm some people. So I don't know if I can do that rule, to be honest.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a dad who has gone above and beyond. He's become dad of the year, I feel like, but unfortunately, he set a dangerous precedent for any other festivity-filled celebration because for Halloween in the States, he has built his kids, his daughters, a 50-foot pirate ship used with scrap they found in their garden, like old timber, flags, ropes, all that kind of stuff. It's not fully functional because you can't put it in the water, but it like looks fully like a boat. They have fake little cannons on the side. It's got ropes. It's 50 foot long. It's full of lights and smoke and everything. Halloween's not even something that like people, I mean, I know people celebrate it, but like it's fully accepted. It's like, all right, put out a couple of zombie ornaments, like maybe put out a scarecrow or a witch or something, a couple of pumpkins, you're done. This guy has gone so above, like this is more than I've ever had for everything I've ever celebrated combined, that this guy's put more effort into just this year's Halloween, which is a year where they're saying we shouldn't probably even have Halloween.
There's the house in Franklin that goes above and beyond, does like a full on Christmas decorations for Halloween. I love that house. Yeah. I love driving past it. I love seeing it. So I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm saying your point is very valid. Yeah. As a parent, once you've done this once, you need to keep doing it. And honestly, that's what's scary.
If anything, that house on Northbourne proves my point. Mm. It's like they probably did it once, and now it's expected of them that they'll do it every single year because they did it last year as well. I went to it last year.
Mm.
They've probably, unfortunately, set a weird precedent for themselves where people are going to start showing up to their house and going, where's the haunted house, guys?
You know what the house in Franklin's going to have to come up with if literally they ever decide to move? Yeah. The new tenants that move in are going to be like,
no, well, Halloween.
That's not us.
Yeah.
Under new management. They're going to have to put an under new tenancy sign out the front of their house.
There will be no Halloween house here this year, but Jesus, this dad, this would have taken months.
Yeah, this is more about the dad.
Yeah,
can I just say quickly 100%. That as I have a smoke machine, I have some lights, I get into a little bit of this stuff as well.
Yep.
Like when I was dating my ex, like Valentine's Day, I used to do like a full-on thing. And like, so I like doing stuff like this.
It's a stage production.
But I've got to admit, there's a part of it that's, I like seeing someone's reaction and going, oh, wow, look at this.
But it's more for you.
But I also enjoy setting it up. So
exactly
this guy
right.
with this ship, I guarantee you he enjoyed setting this
but
up.
But imagine, so this is a 50-foot ship. Imagine next year when he just rolls the same ship out again, because obviously
the kids
you
have
use
seen
it again.
And already seen it.
They go, oh, not the ship again, Dad.
So are you serious? Yes, the ship again. I built the ship and we used it for a week.
If
of course the ship again.
If we were alive 400 years ago, this would have been impossible to
do. This is incredible.
And I've done it by myself using scrap.
The ship is going to be here every Halloween, like clockwork, until your grandkids are sick of the ship.
As a matter of fact, we're living in the ship, kids.
Yep, the house is gone.
Hit the poop deck. Yes, that's funny, and it's going to always be funny.
Yes, and I have used the money we've saved on the mortgage to buy more smoke machines.
Exactly
so
right.
It's going to be fantastic.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Look, if you're on your way to work this morning thinking, I've got to tell XYZ about that nightmare that I had.
Yeah.
Trust me, they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, because this is it. At the end of the story, at the end of the day, any dream story is essentially like, here's something that didn't happen in any way, shape, or form.
Yes. And here's something that my subconscious has put you into. Because usually when you're telling someone about a dream, it's because
they're in it.
The weirdest dream I ever had in my life was a bunch of me and my high school friends were in like a Saw torture chamber situation, but Oprah was Jigsaw.
There you go.
That's it. So why tell anybody about that?
But like, then at the end of the day, it didn't happen. It would never happen.
I woke up. Yep. I was freaked out, but no one else cares.
Exactly right.
This story happened in real life, and I think it's the kind of thing that you would probably have a nightmare about.
Okay.
Guy's going about his day in Brooklyn. He's just waiting for the bus. A sinkhole has opened up.
Jesus.
He's fallen into it. So he's
into the sinkhole.
I mean, if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know that one of my big fears in life is sinkholes. I don't understand why we're not doing more research into that. The ground just opening up at any given time, swallowing things whole is terrifying.
There's
as
an
a concept.
Open investigation into sinkholes and Komodo dragons on this show.
Yep.
And it'll never be closed.
Any evidence for either will always be accepted, discussed, and debated.
We just need to know more about these horrifying things.
They're both terrifying.
Exactly.
But this guy's already fallen into his sinkhole in Brooklyn. Then luckily something broke his fall. A pack of rats.
Yeah, I was going to say rats.
Just a pack of rats. Yeah. And like he's fallen onto a mountain of rats that are apparently are like the size of house cats.
Yep.
Like huge, huge New York City rats.
Big New York rats.
Yeah, and they're running all over him and he's just laying there unable to get up because he's fallen in a sinkhole.
Yep.
Rats just climbing over him. They're freaking out. They're like, why is the sky suddenly visible?
Why is there a huge dude
Once
on
again,
top of
honestly,
walls?
The sinkhole is still the problem because why is that happening? The rats are freaked out by the sinkhole. The rats are freaked out by the guy. The guy's freaked out by the rats. The guy doesn't understand. He's just fallen into a sinkhole. End of story. Apart from the little caveat that he's fine. He eventually got out of the sink.
He wasn't bit by any of the rats?
Well, maybe. It just doesn't say.
That's an adventure for another day for him.
Maybe he'll find that out. Now, I'm sure he's been given shots of something. I mean, you get a bunch of New York City rats crawling all over you. I'm sure something gets done about that.
I don't think you climb out of the hole and someone goes, did they bite you? And he goes, no, I'm fine. All right, see ya. All right, I think you still shot, go to the hospital.
The tetanus shot we were going to give you, we won't give you anymore. And I think they still do.
As long as you don't think you were bitten, that's fine.
That rabies shot, we're fine.
We won't worry about it then.
One plague at a time, guys. I am just got, like, this is, how does this guy go back about his normal day? Because...
Well, you go home after that. No, you don't go to work.
Oh, no, I just mean forever.
Oh, right.
Because he literally cannot, and this is what's so scary about sinkholes, take the rats out of the equation, he cannot prepare for that.
No, just, you can't prepare for
sinkholes.
Like,
I just won't go that way home next time, or I won't use that particular, that fast food store that I got food poisoning at, or I won't, any of the things you could maybe go, oh, I won't do this anymore.
Yeah.
When the ground just opens up and swallows you into a pit of rats, how do you prepare against that? That's a nightmare. That is literally a nightmare.
The way I prepare is just go, well, that was my time. I landed on a bed of rats. That was terrifying. So I feel like I have paid my dues in terms of falling into sinkholes.
This is where you and I are different. You're optimistic, I'm pessimistic. I see it as a final destination thing. I'd be like, the world tried to get me, and now it's out for me.
Yeah, where I'd go, you know what? It's one sinkhole per lifetime, and I've done mine.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call Malaganis Edwards Johnson or visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.